folks, you're listening to Now We're Talking on CITR 101.9 FM. I'm your host, Jeff Bryant, with Keith Kennedy as always.
Hey-o!
Keith, how are you?
Hey-o!
Oh, and the door just shut. Keith, can you grab that door there? Because we just, once again, as in the past, we feel the need to air out the studio. And I'm going to have to insist that before we do the show, we maintain some ventilation out of the studio.
I think I'm going to grab a chair.
By whatever means necessary. Keith, I'm going to turn you off the mic, so go ahead and do it on silent mode. And yes, folks, you're listening to Now We're Talking, broadcasting from CITR 101.9. Thanks for tuning in. As we mentioned previously, last week, we've started Series 2 of the show. And if only you could watch what's happening right now. You know, it is radio, and we're restricted to the medium. But if only we could turn on that CCTV camera, and you could see the difficulty with which Keith is having this door remain ajar. And I think he's done it. Keith, did you do it?
Hold on.
Wait. Oh, no, he's not there yet.
Wait. I'm here.
And he's back.
You got me?
Oh, I got you.
Oh, my goodness. I rolled over the cord, and it got caught up in the wheel well.
Yeah, it's time to go wireless. We're almost there. We're almost there with wireless headphones. I've never tried wireless headphones, but I'm aware it's a thing. And, of course, with the new Apple release, the new iPhone 7, it's a big step in that direction. You aware of that?
Yeah. Did you see the parody?
You're out of breath here.
I know. It's ridiculous.
Yeah, it's fair.
I was hurrying, not because I'm a fat piece of crap.
You were scurrying.
You know the old white phone, when the iPhone first came out, and they had those hilarious, what the hell am I trying to say, GIFs? But it was just like a commercial, and it would be like a solid black color and shadows dancing with the white cords, right?
Sure.
And so they did I saw a parody of this the other day, and it was those people doing that with the little wireless earphones in.
Right.
And of course, they'd fall out.
Right.
And they'd lose them, and it'd show them going back to the store and getting new ones, and then it'd go back to them dancing
in
again.
Silhouette.
Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah, which is exactly, of course, what everybody fears, is that how the hell am I not going to lose these?
I've never liked those. I don't care whether they're wireless or wireful. I've never liked the buds that come with the iPhone. I'm surprised. I've never been able to keep them in my ear.
Mm-hmm.
For me, if I'm going to use the little buds, I use the ones that have sort of that...
The noise-canceling clear plastic
thing,
right?
Yeah, that rubber piece that actually sort of causes it to remain in your ear. So I've never... when people wear those, and I remember when the iPods was... That was in the around 2003, 2004, that you'd see the ubiquitous white cords.
Yeah.
And that was people wearing the buds that came with the iPod. I've never understood it. I've always find those really irritating.
Well,
for me, it doesn't matter whether they're wireless or not. I'm just not interested.
Well, they happen to fit my ears, so I guess I'm one of the lucky ones. But what I don't understand is if they're going wireless, why did they just cut the cord off that thing and still have that weird hangy earring piece? Like, why is there a straight piece that comes out? Why didn't they make them... like cochlear implants? Like, why didn't they make them fit your ear or have like a thing that goes around your ear? Doesn't that make way more sense than just like a thing that dangles 2 inches down so it looks like your old product? That's sketchy, man.
Yeah, I'm not sure.
Just make something better.
Yeah, I don't know what that's about. As I say, for me, just right away, I'm just like, well, I won't be using those.
Yeah,
no, me either. It's simple for me.
Almost everybody I've spoken to looked at that and went, that's not for me. So how good is that a product?
I'd rather wear actual, like we're wearing here in the studio, I'd rather wear over-ear headphones.
Yeah.
As like the go-to method
and I'd rather just carry my boombox on my shoulder.
Yeah, or two if you want it in stereo. That's the problem, right?
Well, I don't need it in stereo because I'm a low-maintenance guy.
That's true. You're pretty easygoing. Mm-hmm. So speaking of iPhones, you mentioned that you're going to get a new iPhone, not the new iPhone, but you're going to upgrade from an iPhone 4.
I don't think I'll ever get the new thing again, ever, whatever.
Well, you will. You're always going to get the new thing, but you're going to get it 3 years after the fact.
Yeah.
But you've been using an iPhone 4 for some time. That's now
three years, yeah.
3 years. That generation of iPhone is 6 years old now, which is considered prehistoric in Apple circles, I guess. But anyway, you're going to go for the iPhone SE.
Yeah, I think so. I think that's
which means you'll be able to tap and pay. But will you tap and pay?
I think I will.
A lot of people thought they would. I hope that you do.
I think I'll do a lot of new things. I'm not even thinking about it. I'm just going to be excited about having that in my hand, and it'll show me all its little secrets. It'll pull back.
You're going to like it. That's a huge. A lot of people go from either they always get the new phone. Or maybe they leapfrog generations, but not a lot of people go from, let's see, the iPhone 4 to the SE. That's skipping like 4 generations.
Yeah, it's cool because it's basically the 6S guts, right?
The guts.
And the SE. So it's, right on the doorstep, which I kind of like to do. I do that with a lot of things. I fall behind and then leap ahead. and then hope to sort of stay ahead of the game. With this, you can't. You can't stay ahead of, you know, Apple. But this
when's it going to happen? When are you going to get this phone?
I think I'm going to get them next week.
Wow.
Next weekend.
Wow. Your processing speed is going to be increased, I imagine.
Yeah, I think I'll be able to do a lot more.
There'll be no turning back.
No.
There'll be no downgrading back to the 4,
mm-hmm.
hopefully.
I'm hoping that it's so good that I start thinking that apps that are obviously parody apps actually work. Like, I'll start trying to churn butter and right. things like that.
Yeah, parody apps work great.
I'm like, why wouldn't this work on this amazing new phone?
Because you've tried parody apps on your iPhone 4 and it hasn't worked out?
Well, no. Just, you know, you hear about that stuff where people go, like, dip it in water and it'll tell you how warm the water is. And you're like, that's obviously not a thing. Don't do that.
Yeah.
But this is going to be so good that I will no longer see the difference.
Doors will open wide to you. Okay, good. So you'll have the iPhone SE. That's exciting. You know, I've noticed here around campus and just generally in the world, the ubiquitousness of the, even now, we're at UBC, of course, broadcasting from CITR. I don't know if you've been down here or not, but it's a new studio in this past year. We're here at the Student Union building, and even just looking out there right away, to prove my point, I see one person with a laptop, and it's got that MacBook design, the titanium with the glowing Apple logo. And there was a time when it was a difficult battle for me to discuss the Apple versus PC thing with people. So for me, when I look around and the people that are using laptops that are not Macs are in the distinct minority, it kind of allows me just to like relax and have some faith. You know, there's so many reasons I'm excited about the future and things I'm concerned about. But when I see the mass adoption of Apple products, it causes me some relief. It's such a counterpoint to how frustrated I feel with the BlackBerry thing and the Microsoft thing. I was thinking about that the other day, and it was really bothering me. I was just spent like an hour or two just brooding about it.
Mm. What exactly bothers you about it?
For me, it's like the fact that people don't instantly recognize why one path is clearly better mm-hmm. than the other. It just... It makes me think, first of all, I can't fathom the ignorance or the thoughts that they're having that are leading them to their conclusions. And I feel like it has greater implications for the world at large. If people's thinking is so flawed,
mm-hmm.
then there's probably the world is going to continue to mm-hmm. Go to shit.
And there's also the price issue. That's always been a faction of people who realize that one is better than the other, but it's just a bit more expensive.
Well, but the thing that pisses me off and frustrates me is that there's no consideration for the fact that the differential in cost is quickly offset mm-hmm. by the user experience of the product.
Yeah, it's just immediacy, right? Some people only have this much right now, and that's all they can afford, and that's a reality. I'm speaking for myself, by the way, in case people out there aren't getting that. I'm just defending my own position and my own lack of adoption of these products.
Well, the position you're describing was always the position, but all the people that are now walking around with Apple products, it's not that they're suddenly doing better in life. I think it's that they needed people to demonstrate for them another way. I don't know.
I just think they're rich bastards.
I don't think so.
I see them and I think, damn your parents.
I don't think that everybody's become rich. I think everybody's just realized there's better value in getting a better product.
I think everyone became rich, Jeff. Let's be fair.
Maybe everybody
became rich.
Everybody owned stock in Apple without owning any Apple products.
Yeah, well, you were saying buy Apple products. They were just like, later. Like, I'm buying stock.
Yeah, I'm buying stock so I can afford one. I guess. I don't know. But that was frustrating me. BlackBerry, the fact that BlackBerry is still a thing, why? Please. Mm-hmm. It's remarkable. But that's not what we're here to talk about, folks. That's not what the show's about today. The show's about a lot of things.
Mm-hmm.
But Keith, last week you read on the air, during the show.
I did. I read.
An essay.
Yeah.
That you had penned.
I penned it.
With your computer.
For the show.
Yeah.
And then I done read it.
And now this week... You've done it again.
I did it again. Did anyone see that coming?
He's done it again.
I did it again.
So this is, I don't want to say too much about it. Do you want to preface it or just dive in?
I don't think it needs much prefacing other than prepare to have your minds blown.
And that's good. And do you need the sound of explosions?
Maybe briefly, but I don't think I need it throughout.
Okay. Let's go without and maybe we'll end it with an explosion. I'll search for, I'll go in the other room. And search for some explosions.
Okay.
And I'll let you go ahead. Keith's got his essay of the week on Now We're Talking.
I play ice hockey. I didn't when I was younger, though I really wanted to. I played soccer in the summer with a group of guys, and they all played hockey in the winter. I felt left out, but I never made this known to my parents. I thought we didn't have enough money for hockey. Turns out it was more because hockey happens at awful hours, and my parents both worked long and hard to keep me in the elementary school style I was accustomed to. Shiny lunchboxes and neon bright backpacks and tomatoes for my bologna sandwiches. This miscommunication in my youth left a longing in me, evidenced by recurring dreams I had in my 20s, dreams where I would finally be on the ice, skating far better than I had any right to, as unrealistic as the ability to soar in a flying dream. I would wake up feeling exhilarated, and at some point I decided that one day I would play ice hockey for real. In my early 30s, it happened. And because I'd played other forms of hockey my whole life, I took to it pretty well. I got good, and now I play early in the morning a couple of times a week. But this isn't a story about hockey. Not really. The other day I woke up particularly late. I've developed this awful habit of snoozing an excessive amount of times. Though not abnormal, this behavior has a bizarre and offensive reasoning at its core. I do it because I can. Because my life choices have led me to a place where I never have to set an alarm. I get joy in it. I get even more joy from the idea that other people can only snooze a few times, while I can snooze forever. I know this makes no logical sense. You could set the alarm for 10 minutes after you go to bed and snooze 45 times if you wanted. But people don't do that, so logic can get stuffed. I get up for hockey, and I'm a little dozy. I go pantsless onto my balcony to retrieve my shin and elbow pads, where I've left them to de-stink, showing my wiener to all who care to be up at that hour. I pack my bag, water bottle, return socks, Green Lantern jersey, grab my dying hoodie, and head for the door. Sticks in my free hand, keys in my mouth, fuzz in my head. I haven't eaten. I rush back to the kitchen and grab a banana, and I'm out. Bag in trunk, sticks between the seats, and I aim my ass for the driver's side. I feel something beneath me. It's a momentary feeling, a hint of pressure. It's enough to stop me before rolling my second buttock over into full sit mode. I reach back, perched like a man trying to sneak a fart, and put my fingers in something awful. In a moment like this, the mind conjures incredible and sense-defying images. This particular feeling, this soft, gooey unexpectedness, plastered the picture of a large fish in my mind. The kind of fish that one finds deep beneath the ocean. The southern reticulated ugly fish, perhaps, with a mouth so big and bulbous that one might be able to fit many fingers inside it. I leap from the car, scraping my knee on the door as I shoot it from nearly closed all the way to way the hell open. I stand, fish in mind, its mouth flexing, waiting to see the horror. But before I can turn, I see a banana on the ground. No, not just a banana. The dashed entrails of a banana who's gone through something terrible. A banana that wanted its freedom and was eviscerated, disemboweled for its beliefs. A yellow turd on the black asphalt at my feet. I look back into the car, my mind slowly putting it together. Sure enough, there is a smear of banana on the seat. And while turning my body to take in the horror, my eyes catch movement at my belt line. Interlude, a brief history of hoodies. My hoodie's friggin' old. It has a hole in one pocket. I use it to put my headphones through. It's gotten bigger from use and wear. Now it's big enough, nearly, to let a banana through. The banana skin is hanging from the inside of my hoodie, caught on a thread by its gnarly black end. It must have slipped through the hole as I heaved my overheavy bag into the trunk or as I swung, Grace Kelly-like, into my car. The banana slipped out, caught by the end, and tucked itself around my hip, positioning itself to be sat upon. And I, at the crucial moment as my butt pressed down and split the skin of the banana, had reached back and tucked my fingers inside its newly crafted orifice, dipping into the slimy innards. I'd then launched myself from the car, swinging the banana by its pocket-threaded noose and hucked its guts upon the ground with my momentum, leaving the skin to dangle horrendously like the cast-off flesh of a cannibalism victim from a 70s exploitation movie. This wasn't a story about hockey. It was a story about the time I sexually violated an innocent fruit and left it to die, skinless, in the street. It was a story about the time I finger-banged my breakfast.
That wasn't quite the explosion I was hoping for. I have to say, I put a lot of effort
into finding
giving you an explosion
yeah.
that would be worthy of your words, my friend.
Well, thanks for trying.
I want to be clear.
I hope that was an assessment of
that. That was not what I was looking for. Why don't you give me that last line again, Keith?
Are you sure we want to read that last line again on the radio?
Please.
I was worried about that. It was a story about the time I finger banged my breakfast.
This just sounds like wind.
Yeah.
Isn't it?
Now I'm scared. I'm waiting for like a huge... Oh my God.
Remember earlier I was talking about... Oh, that's better.
This is like a rolling...
It's an atomic bomb explosion. That's what we've got here.
From a great distance.
This is an audio medium, not visual.
In case you're still trying to find the screen on your radio.
Yeah, I mentioned that before, the limitations of radio. I think clearly this is telling us we need to figure out how to turn on that CCTV camera so people can see what's going on in here. On the screen, it was a very dramatic sight.
Oh, yeah, I can imagine.
Dramatic.
I guess a mushroom cloud, I'm guessing.
Yeah, there's a mushroom cloud. And
people running for their lives.
It was vivid.
Indiana Jones in a friggin' icebox.
Exactly. That's exactly what it was.
Okay. Oh, man. Do you remember when that movie came out and people tried to replace Jump the Shark with a phrase from that? They thought that was so
change
bad.
Change it to Jump in the Fridge or whatever.
Something like, yeah, Blow Up the Fridge or something.
that makes sense.
Yeah, because that movie blew up the fridge on Indiana Jones.
I think that, if I recall, that moment was actually one that Spielberg had been wanting to use. I don't know if it was, I think in a different movie.
Well, that doesn't surprise me because it struck me as one of those things where someone goes, you know, it's possible to actually survive.
Theoretically.
Those are lead lined, you know. You could survive it. And so I could see him getting in his head
He
wanted to use it.
Let's do it.
Let's show the people.
Show the people.
I don't know if you've noticed this, but the arms on my chair this week,
mm-hmm.
one of them is lower than the other.
That's cool because you can kind of lean onto your left arm.
Mm-hmm.
And
cool in the way that I feel a little bit like Krang from the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. Do you remember Krang?
Nope.
He was like the pink weirdo.
The pink one.
Yeah. I'm doing fertile turtles. Anyway, he was just like a blob, but he always looked like he was like askew.
Yeah, it's not going to be good for your posture to be kind of
askew. No, I feel like I'm leaning.
What's
like
happening in this booth where everything's kind of, you know, the rubber
up.
Stopper and the chair and...
Yeah, the rubber stopper's gone from the door. Stopper. Are they both called stopper?
We should never leave this booth. We should be here
to protect it.
To babysit everybody.
Or we should at least leave a barbarian of some sort with a broadsword.
I'm surprised it's not more damaged in here.
To protect it. Or maybe a Klingon with a batleth would be the best thing to protect a place like this. Because the rounded edge of the batleth wouldn't necessarily hurt all the CDs on the wall.
So many references, I can't keep up with them.
Turtles, Star Trek. That's it.
I'm just like...
Now you're cut off.
And I'm just repeatedly saying, hey, what's going on with the equipment and this gear? Keith, thank you for that essay. I'll confess that I was so focused on finding the perfect explosion.
I know, I don't think you were listening to
it. I wasn't listening to
it. Funny story.
But now I feel like I missed out on something.
That's okay. You've heard me tell stories before.
How was it for you?
It was good. It's a really fun medium. I was talking to some of my writer friends about this the other day, that it's neat to try something a little different, to
mm-hmm.
take a bit, something that, this, for example, is something I would tell as a story. So I think of it as a comedy bit. I think of memorizing it and performing it, or just telling it off the cuff a little bit, like by knowing the points. So to write it out as a comedy bit like this, to read on the air, is a slightly different skill for me. So not just the writing, but the reading of it too. I mean, I've read out loud lots of times, but writing a thing, knowing it, reading it, almost like acting it. You're kind of acting it a little bit. So it's almost a new narrow skill for me that I'm excited to practice.
What about you, listener? Are you enjoying Keith's new narrow
skills?
Oh,
let's not ask specifically about that. No need to talk specifically about Keith.
But you know what, folks? We've invited you in the past, and let's be honest, Keith, we actually earlier today had the experience of doing a fill-in show here on CITR,
mm-hmm.
and we decided to make it all about taking calls.
Yeah, what was the name that we had for the fill-in show?
The show itself?
Yeah, something about
putting
your ass on the air.
Something like that. We put a few people's asses on the air, and we enjoyed that. So you know what? To put it out there, I feel like what happens is people are hesitant to be the first caller,
mm-hmm.
but then they start to flow.
Yeah.
So why not be the first caller, folks? Give us a call at 604-822-2487. That's 604-UBC-CITR. And let us know if you enjoyed Keith's essay.
Man.
or you know, or
it's going to be a fight.
Or we can discuss. But how do you know that they won't endorse your essay?
Well,
it feels like you're assuming if somebody calls, it will be.
It's not that. It's if you just don't want to hear anyone's opinion, then you're not going to get bad or good.
Okay.
And then you can be like, yay,
folks.
I'm fine.
If you're going to call for a different purpose. And then if you want to, you can subversively, you know, inject into the conversation an opinion you might have had. But don't make that the reason that you're calling.
How's that for an artistic attitude to be like, I'd rather just wonder if it's good rather than risk hearing that.
I don't want to confront the audience.
Yeah.
I'm in this booth for a reason. Don't take me out of the safety of my
booth.
Yeah,
this would have been done at your local comedy club if I wanted to.
By allowing somebody to enter the studio through the phone lines like a Trojan horse.
Oh, also, by the way, when we did, in case people are afraid to call us because we have, you know, prepared bits or you think maybe we're going to be angry or mean or something, it was a good experience to have that call-in show.
Yeah.
Because it showed that it's fine to call us. We're not gonna freak out. Even if you're a Trump supporter, we're not gonna freak out.
Yeah, you never know who's gonna call. We had some good conversations, and we invite you to call for this particular program today.
Yeah, just because we want to try it out. We want to see if maybe radio call in works on Now We're Talking. Maybe it doesn't.
We have a theory that radio is the new internet, and we want you to help us prove that today.
Yep.
And I don't know how you'll help us prove that, but if you call in and just agree with that statement, that would be a hell of a step in the right direction.
In fact, and if you can prove that would be great. In fact, let's just get all the people who can prove that statement rather than the people who want to have a comment on my essay.
Let's talk about the news.
Jeff and Keith present this week's news. Now, topical.
Do we ever play the longer version of that?
We did
intro?
It once.
Yeah, we did once.
Yeah, I think we should try it again. Maybe next week. Do the long version.
Yeah.
Because
we'll do
great.
It next week.
It was great.
Yeah, that's the we put together that theme music and we did a long version. We thought we should probably have a short version too.
Yeah, we didn't get any complaints about the long version that I remember.
Well, Keith, tell the audience what happened this week in the news. Let me see if I can actually find that clip. Go ahead.
Okay. Well, I know that one of the big things in the news this week that I'm not all that interested in talking about, but it seemed to dominate, was this Hillary Clinton thing where she got pneumonia, or like there's a video of her falling down. And it's funny because this is something that we talked about earlier on our fill-in show with a guest. It feels to me like this. Jeff and I talked about this a little bit before and hit on the idea that maybe it's propaganda. It's sort of being fed.
This is her having pneumonia this week?
Yeah, this idea that she's not healthy is being fed by the Trump side of things, and it's sort of a right-wing media blow-up. And then she actually did look sick, so everyone went, oh, my goodness, is it true? And that's what worried me, is the idea that if that happened to anybody, you'd be like, oh, I wonder if they're sick. But because there'd been some seeds planted, when she fell or went limp in this video, people went, oh my God, all of those planted seeds are coming to bloom. They're coming to roost. I'm going to mix my metaphors. They're blooming. It's real. All of that stuff that we were sure was just propaganda.
It's proof that she's crooked Hillary.
It's proof that she's not fit to. And I just thought, that's an awful big leap. Let's all calm down and not accept the evil ways of either side, whatever they're doing. The ways that they're trying to undercut each other, let's not assume that those things are true.
Yeah, that's some crazy nonsense. I found the alternate intro for the segment.
Okay, let's go.
Now you're gonna get it. This week's news delivered straight down your trousers. Now topical. Do you enjoy keeping abreast of current events? Well, if you don't know who the dullard at the dinner table is, it's probably you. Dullard? Well, come on, dullard, we don't have all day. Would you like to hear some topical news? But don't answer too quickly, you might lose your shirt. Now topical.
Kind of sounds like Katharine Hepburn. I feel like that was maybe a little bit of the inspiration for that read.
Hepburn.
Yeah, come on. Yeah.
I never thought of that.
Yeah. I mean, yeah. I think that at the time, that's sort of the newsreel announcery voice, but definitely Katharine Hepburn.
Ah,
influenza rating.
That's
on
funny.
The line.
I've done that funny voice a lot too. That eat snacky smells. That guy.
Come
but
on.
I've never once thought it sounded like Katharine Hepburn. Maybe that's a special thing you've got that you're bringing to it.
Yeah.
That old lady twang.
I think, if I'm honest, most aspects of this show are influenced by
Katharine
Hepburn
that's
one
true.
Way or another.
To be fair, yeah.
This is just an obvious example because of the cadence and the intonation of her voice.
That does lend itself to exposing the depth of our Katharine Hepburn influence.
Yeah. But if you listen to the show, which is called Now We're Talking, if you're just tuning in, you'll see there's almost a through line of Katie Hepburn.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
If you go back especially in the fill-in shows. If you want to get a little bit of the underbelly, listen to a couple of those fill-in shows that we've done.
Lots of references to Spencer Tracy, that's
for
sure.
You'll feel some Hepburn up in there. Yeah. You'll feel the Hepburn. I just made her career a million times better. Where were we when Katharine Hepburn needed a little push and we could have told people to feel the Hepburn?
Feel the Hepburn.
Oh, man.
Wow.
It has so many meanings.
That's silly.
The joy.
That is silly.
Are you feeling the Hepburn? Here's Katharine Hepburn to talk about.
Are you feeling the Hepburn?
What I do when I get a flare-up is I use, I don't know.
What did happen in the news this week? Okay, so we talked a little bit about
herpes.
That thing with Hillary Clinton is just bizarre. But I mean, it's such a large topic. Just talking about the nonsense surrounding all of that. I mean, it's almost just, let me know what happens with the election and...
Yeah, I'm tired of it too, man. I just dominated the news feed. It felt
like
it was
crazy.
At the top.
It's such a crazy thing, but it's a big conversation. So, anything else happened in the news?
Well, I don't know if you want to get into it. The Corey Feldman thing was a big.
Yeah, Corey Feldman. He's.
So, I mean, I don't know what perspective our listeners have on this, and you and I have different perspectives on it. But Corey Feldman is a guy who was a movie star when he was younger. Stand by Me, The Lost Boys, License to Drive, a lot of '80s things, and he was adorable and wonderful, and people loved him. And then he went away. And most people don't know anything more than that about him. But for fans of his, he was friends with Michael Jackson. He kind of wanted to be a musician. That was a thing. He had a reality show 10 years ago, maybe, with him and Corey Haim before Corey Haim died.
The two Coreys.
Yeah. And then he released, I don't know, maybe like 6 or 8 years ago, he released a video for his new song. And it was, you know, it was something to look at. He was on a reality show. One of those, I don't know what they're called, maybe you remember. It was the one where they're all in a house, celebrities in a house together.
Surreal Life?
That could have been it, yeah. Because it wasn't Big Brother, it was, I think Surreal Life.
Yeah, that's what it was.
And he was on there and he was really nice, but he was also kind of what you'd expect. He was a bit of a panicky, neurotic, I used to be a star, now I'm not, what the heck do I do with my life kind of guy. And so just this week in the news, people were freaking out because they let him on the Today Show to perform a song from his new double album.
That's what's... you were showing me this before because I hadn't heard this, but the thing that really jumped out at me was, okay, he's got this vanity project. He's releasing some music. I'm like, okay. But the fact that it was a double album
was ambitious.
Really the thing that made it unclear. Now, is this some sort of... a parody situation?
It's not. He's
because if it was a parody situation,
it's gold.
There was a time when it would be a triple album for it to be a parody, but now a double album will do. In the era of the digital download, I would say to release a double album is a little bit out of touch.
Yeah, unless that's what you do.
Do you want to hear some of this? I mean, we're in case the listener of the show.
Yeah, if you got it there,
you haven't heard this.
Let's hear it. Sure.
And maybe, Keith, describe what we're seeing on the screen here. He's performing with...
He's got four women dressed up as angels. He's wearing a black outfit, which apparently matches the cover of the album, the theme of which is evil versus good and heaven and hell. And I think he thinks that's an original concept and that he's got something with that. And again, that's what's sad about it, is that he kind of seems like... he was stunted at 12 years old in terms of what the real world is like.
Michael Jackson probably stunted him. It's true, right? He probably stunted him.
I don't know. There's no proof that Michael Jackson ever stunted anyone.
Well, it's...
All right? So, it's all very juvenile. I mean, I've heard him sing before. He's sung live and on other videos. He's not a very good singer. This is the best I've ever heard him and the best he's ever looked. I also want to take a second here and say, like, I don't want to be, like, a hater, if I understand what that is.
Yeah.
I think if he wants to do this with his life, then he should go for it. Ah, that's the name of the song.
Is it?
Yeah. But it's a four, not the word four.
Is it really?
Yeah, because. Do this, man. Like, do whatever you want with your life. But if you come out and go on the Today Show, then don't be surprised that people are going to treat you like other people who are on the Today Show or other people who put the music out in the world.
So there was a lot of backlash.
You're going to be judged. There was a lot of backlash. And I think... the issue is, it was just subpar. It's not that it's terrible, even though it is. That's not the point. People are all like, well, this is a bizarre performance. Corey Feldman's weird. I'm like, just say it like it is. This is a subpar thing to be put on your TV. This is not an accomplished artist. This is not good dancing. This is not a well-constructed song. This is someone who's a little bit rich, even though he's asking to crowdfund the album, which is interesting, the next album, and a little bit eccentric, and he has a hobby. And because someone went, oh, is that Corey Feldman from that movie I liked in the 80s? He got on the freaking Today Show. And yeah, he made a bit of a joke out of himself, and I like the guy. He seems like a nice guy. And whenever he's been at my house, he's never stolen the silverware, but it's not good.
What if there was a Lost Boys band? Would you be into that?
Totally.
So you get Corey Feldman on vocals, mm-hmm. Kiefer Sutherland on the bass.
Okay.
Kiefer Sutherland's a musician too, isn't he?
Yes.
In his spare
he's
time?
He's far better.
Is he?
Yeah, far better.
And who else? Let's break this down, Keith. Who else would be in this Lost Boys band?
That's interesting. I'd put...
Is it Jason Patrick?
Yeah. I definitely put him at the front because he's pretty and wonderful. He'd probably be the singer. Maybe Alex Winter on the keyboards. Remember Alex Winter?
Oh,
he's a vampire in that movie. He's from Bill and Ted.
How strange. I'm seeing that as recently as it was 3 weeks ago, Kiefer Sutherland performed on Jimmy Kimmel Live.
Yeah, I actually saw.
And released an album. I don't know if this is the album or the single called Down in a Hole.
Yeah.
But what is this? All these guys from Lost Boys are releasing music.
Yeah,
now
it's all coming this
on
year.
The radio, on
well,
TV?
Like, again, Corey Feldman's been doing it for years. But Kiefer's pretty good. It's pretty standard sort of accessible country music. Oh, here we go. Here we go with a long intro.
Here we go with the long G chord.
Yeah, it's hard for me to weigh in. It's not really my kind of thing, but it seemed accessible, which is more than you can say for some of the other Lost Boy band.
Okay, so who else? Who else is in the Lost Boys band? So we got Kiefer Sutherland on vocals, Corey Feldman on vocals.
I think we should have Jason Patrick on vocals.
And Jason Patrick. Okay, let's see if we can
get I don't him think he's ever
here.
Done that.
Well, let's see. Jason Patrick band.
Oh, every rock star.
Jason Patrick well, we could, sings.
You might not be able to do a Lost Boys band, but you could definitely do an 80s band. You can get
okay, here's
Johnny
Jason
Depp
Patrick
in there, man.
Singing the song Chasing Cars by the band Snow Patrol.
Are you serious?
In London.
What?
Okay, so we've got three lead vocalists so far. We got to get somebody to play the drums. What? So this Alex?
That was really him.
Well, so the internet says. Alex Winters.
Alex Winter. Yeah, I think it's just Winter.
Winter. Winters. Keith.
I think it's just Winter. Alex Winter.
Okay,
I could be wrong.
I hate to get it wrong.
Oh boy.
You know, not as easy to find things with Alex Winter or Winters on the internet.
Okay,
I'm not sure why
then.
That might be. Anyways, okay, so what we're going to do, if we're going to get this band together, is accept that they're all going to be on lead vocals.
What about, oh my God, I've lost her name. She's fabulous. She's the mom in the Lost Boys. Wiest. Not Catherine.
Diane Wiest.
Diane. Wow, what's wrong with me? Yes, Diane.
Diane Wiest.
I bet she's got some hidden talents because she's a wonderful actress.
Mm-hmm.
I bet she can tambourine it or something.
It would be interesting, actually, if she just played all of the other instruments.
Yeah, I could buy into that.
And,
or she could just be like in Corey Feldman's video with the angels behind. Wiest could be the like the Robert Palmer girls in short skirts.
Right.
She could just be all of them.
Right.
All of those really hot ladies.
Yeah.
Because she's a foxy older lady.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And I just find her attractive because she's good at stuff.
Okay, so what else? Anything else happened in the news this week?
Oh, I thought we were going to talk about this. I'm disappointed that I'm talking about the Lost Boys band for the next half hour. I was, like, ready to keep going. Oh, boy.
Folks, give us a call at 604-822-2487 if you want to give us your opinion on a possible Lost Boys band.
My wife
we
got to
hear what. Yeah, it's going to be your wife, and she will say, yes, please.
Yeah.
What would they play? What songs would they play? Would they play songs from the official
soundtrack?
Yeah, they'd
play I Still Believe from the soundtrack,
okay.
Which if you could find would be wonderful.
You've mentioned the soundtrack. I forgot this. You mentioned the
yeah,
soundtrack.
Yeah, because that's a big
What's
thing.
The story of
There's
you
a lot of
your,
great songs. There's a wonderful song that In Excess does on that soundtrack.
Okay.
Gonna Have a Good Time Tonight, I think it's called. And also the theme, like Cry Little Sister, a theme from The Lost Boys.
Wow.
These are all wonderful, wonderful songs.
Maybe rather than waiting for the actual cast members of that movie to create this band, which we don't have any control over that, really.
Mm-hmm.
Or maybe we do.
That's disappointing to think that we don't, but that's fine.
Well, maybe what we need to do if we want to affect change in the world is put together our own cover band.
Oh, do we have to be the change?
We have to be the change. That could be the name of the cover band.
Be the change? How will they know what we're covering? The B-Sharps.
We'll have to tell them. We'll have to inform them.
B-Sharp the Change is a funny name for a band.
B-Sharp the Changes.
That you want to watch C me, minor.
Watch me for the B-Sharp Changes. Oh, dear. Okay, anything else happened in the news this week?
I don't know about that news. I went to the movie theater. You want to do that?
Sure, yeah. Okay, let's talk about the movie theater.
I went to the movie theater.
Okay, good. We're off to a good start.
And I often go to the movie theater as a destination. I'll say, that new Civil War movie looks great. I will go to see it. But this time, my wife just said one night, she said, I'm off tomorrow. Do you want to go to a movie tonight? And we were like, oh, I wonder what's playing. So we had like a full-on impromptu movie-going session, and we saw Sausage Party.
Here's the sound of a movie projector. Although now, probably when you saw the film, probably it wasn't projecting 35 mil. It was probably digital, right? Yeah. So it probably didn't make that sound.
Yeah. That's still nice. That's a nice sound. It's nostalgic.
Yeah.
So I enjoyed Sausage Party so much. I wish we had gone as a destination. Oh, it's still the movie starting again.
Sorry.
Yeah, I wish we had endorsed it from the beginning, but it was...
So you enjoyed it?
It was just right up my alley. It was if you ever want to know who Keith is, Sausage Party, I'm the target audience for that movie. It's a parody of something and everything. It's lots of swearing, sex jokes, dirty jokes, ridiculous comedians putting on ridiculous voices. A pretty straightforward story, so I can be interested and I can care it a little bit, but really I just want to laugh, and it made me laugh a lot.
R-rated? Is it the first R-rated animated comedy, like mainstream animated comedy?
Maybe. Yeah, I mean, and it's hard R for sure.
Huh.
Yeah, there's like...
It's interesting that that's never been done before.
Yeah. And hopefully more.
Yeah.
Go for it. Yeah. It was really entertaining, man. Yeah. Worked all around. And Nick Kroll was fabulous.
Interesting, out of all those actors, that's the one that you mentioned.
I just thought he nailed it. He's a great character guy, Nick Kroll. And he has a show, The Kroll Show, I don't know if you've ever seen it.
No.
But it's an interesting form of comedy because he does just create these wild characters and those like long sort of serialized sketches with them.
Mm-hmm.
And he just plays a character. It's a douche.
That's the
container.
Character?
I don't know how I could call it a bag. It's like a douche nozzle. Mm-hmm. Is that correct?
I don't know, but that's a much better term.
Yeah.
For criticizing somebody than I find douche. I really don't like this douche bag. It's first of all, it's overdone.
Yeah, I like D bag.
But if you called D bag, it's all right. But if you call somebody a douche nozzle, it's kind of cute and funny, and it gets across the same point.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the thing about calling somebody a douchebag is you sound like a douchebag. Because you have no originality.
I guess if your collar's up, you do.
I don't know. I just feel like if you use that word, you're actually revealing a complete absence of original thought. Whereas if you call somebody a douche nozzle, just by saying nozzle instead of bag, you go from being a D-bag to not being either.
I see what you're saying. I counter that with the idea that if douche nozzle is kind of popular and it's trying to be the next new thing, then you're getting on that bandwagon.
Well, you got to do it quick then.
Yeah, because I say douchebag a lot, but when I'm really saying it, I put a little oomph on it so I sound singular. Like, I'll really hit the douche.
But if you've been doing it for a long time, change it to douche nozzle, and then we'll talk.
Just try it on?
Yeah, try it on for this next week, and then we'll talk.
So anyway, Nick Kroll plays like a douche thing, and he just plays kind of like a bro. Like one of those guys who says bro all the time.
Bro.
No, but he says straight up like a
bro.
Like, come on, bro. What are you doing? Like that guy. And it's a one-note joke.
Bro that says bro.
It's a one-note joke that works for the entire film. I thought he was hilarious every moment that he spoke. And I thought it was great. So again, if you watched that and thought, what a boring, singular, non-important character, then maybe this movie isn't for you. Maybe it's for Keith.
It's just for Keith.
Just like your highness.
How often do you go to the theater these days?
I've been going more and more as I get older and avoid other things, for fear that I will have to deal with adult situations in the real world.
Okay.
Yeah. So.
But you have been going more. Okay.
I risk the movies because the movies are great. Yeah, I've been going more. I think all the superhero movies. Like, to be fair, all the movies that have come out in the last 5-6 years, maybe even 10 years, a lot more of them have been geared towards me as a target audience. Because of
You've entered the target.
The science fiction movies, the fantasy movies, the horror movies, the superhero movies. That's all straight up my alley.
Yeah, it's true. It's true. It is up your alley.
So we go a lot more. There's a lot more that we feel are event, as I was saying before, event movies. Like, we have to go see that in the theater. That used to happen like twice a year that you'd have to go to a movie in a theater.
What about...
now it's like once a month at least.
What about Netflix? Anything on Netflix this week?
Sometimes I forget what I've seen on Netflix and what I've seen on the movie channel.
I'll just say it's Netflix.
I saw the Steve Jobs movie. I think that's Netflix, yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. I know you and I are fans of the,
I enjoyed the...
The other one.
There's a movie that was called Jobs that came out, I think, maybe 2 or 3 years before this other one, featuring Ashton Kutcher, and a lot of people criticized the movie and thought that it belonged, like, as, like, a TV movie of the week.
Like a B-movie or something.
Just, like, they thought it was a really weak effort, and... I didn't understand that. Like, for me, like, if I hadn't heard that criticism, I would have thought, wow, he looks a lot like Steve Jobs, and he seems to do a good job of...
Mm-hmm. And in fact, the physicality of Steve Jobs, like, Ashton Kutcher actually imitated him.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not predisposed to being a fan of Ashton Kutcher, but...
No one is.
Yeah, but I thought he did a great job, and I thought, for me, as a fan of Steve Jobs, I thought it was good.
I've just forgotten that guy's name who plays Wozniak. What's his name?
Gad.
Yes, Justin? No.
Josh Gad.
I really liked him.
I thought he did a great too.
Yeah.
Like, for me, it wasn't really lacking anything.
Yeah, he's really funny, that cat, man, Josh Gad. I watched him and Billy Crystal did like...
Yeah, what's that about?
It was they only got one season.
Yeah.
But it was called The Comedians.
Yeah, I knew nothing about that show. I never heard about it being promoted, and then I came across like a trailer for it recently, and I'm like, what?
Yeah, is this? It was sort of an Odd Couple thing where Billy Crystal's playing that, you know, that typical douchey version of himself.
Not douchey.
Yeah, like he's a little bit...
Nozzly.
He's a little bit, he's Billy Crystal. He's famous, and he expects a little bit of this. And then Gad is the young up-and-comer, and they don't really get along, but they have to have this variety sketch show together.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a documentary about them doing it. But it's not, it's a mockumentary, of course. And I thought it was great. I mean, obviously it's been done before, and it's a little bit late in coming compared to, you know, some of the other shows that were like it. But I thought it was fabulous, and it got canceled after one season.
Actually, I know what it was. I saw a clip of Billy Crystal in a scene from that show with Mel Brooks.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And I thought, oh, this is great.
Yeah.
But then I heard it was canceled. I thought, oh, maybe the demographic for the show is skews too old or something. I don't know. It's interesting to get older and to realize that things you take for granted that everybody knows and loves, you realize, you know, for us now in our mid to late 30s, there might be things that... people know nothing about. They might not know who Billy Crystal is or Mel Brooks.
And what's sad to think that that's why that show didn't do well, because people don't love Billy
and
Crystal.
Maybe there's more to it. But in my mind, it's like Billy Crystal and Mel Brooks and that Gad guy to appeal to younger people. Just without having seen the show, it surprised me.
I recommend it. I think it's really great. Despite the fact that a lot of it will seem familiar to the point of being too familiar.
What was that broadcast on? What was it?
I think it was FX.
Okay.
And it's great. It's so smart. It even knows part of the plot of it is it knowing that it's not getting enough play from FX in terms of being...
Oh, really?
Yeah, it's like afraid it's not going to get the slot. Like, they're just filming it in the show, of course. So they're afraid it's not going to get a good slot, and they don't think it's being promoted enough. And then sure enough, it gets canceled. So maybe that adds to some of that when you watch it, which is a nice frown being turned upside down by sheer will.
Remember when we used to get caught in the rain? Remember that? In previous episodes of the show, you and I used to get caught in the rain.
Did we?
Yeah.
Was it rain?
And then it just kind of stopped. And I think for this episode that you're listening to, I think we should get lost in the rain. Yeah. Feels good. Doesn't it?
It makes me think of videos on the internet where there's lots of naked people in the rain that I just happened to cross and didn't look up on purpose.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Interesting that your mind would go there. I feel it's like this is very a revealing exercise.
Yeah, I think... sadly, that's where my mind goes often, no matter what the circumstance. Like when you do the fire thing, I just picture a bunch of naked people around the fire.
Right. You are a bit obsessed with naked
stuff. I really like
aren't you?
Naked stuff, yeah.
Huh.
We've never talked about that on the radio, have we?
I don't actually think we have talked about that.
I don't even know if we should.
Well, I don't know. We could ease into it.
We could ease
by
into
maybe
it.
Taking our shirts off.
Okay, let's do it.
Okay, hold on a second. One second. I love that you tapping on the mic three times evenly with your finger was meant to approximate this.
Way to do it way better.
Which is the actual sound of removing a shirt.
Oh, whatever.
Folks, if you're just tuning in, I, Jeff, have managed to remove my shirt,
mm-hmm.
but Keith...
I just managed to tap on the mic
three
times.
He just tapped on the mic three times.
Well, I didn't know we were actually doing it.
We'll start with this.
Okay.
So are we done with the news?
Sure.
Folks, come on, give us a call.
We've been here for 45 minutes. We don't know what's going on. We're just making stuff up. Just
you know
call
what it
us.
Probably is, Keith, is we're inviting the listener to give us a call, but... It's probably dinner time for a lot of people. You know, earlier I mentioned we did the fill-in show. It was probably, what was it, around 4 o'clock, 4:30. That's the time of day.
Yeah.
On the weekend, on a Sunday, when people are kicking back, they're listening to their radio, they've got their phone at the ready, and they're thinking, I'm up for it. But when it's, you know, I think at this hour...
Does that make us fools for asking that?
You know what? It's frustrating is a lot of people are probably having a meal with their family, listening to the show, nonetheless. Or maybe it's in the background.
Mm-hmm.
But it's on. Maybe wanting to call,
mm-hmm.
but they want to be polite.
Yeah.
They want to respect their dinner mates or their family, whoever they're dining with.
Dinner mates.
And they don't want to use their phone at the dinner table.
Yeah. I bet that's not a thing anymore. I bet people are constantly on their phones at family dinners.
People just don't know how to dial anymore.
Dial?
Dial.
Yeah. Ah, it's in the past, man. I was a comedian talking about that the other day was it Louis or Bill? No, Bill Burr? Who the hell was it? I was a comedian doing a bit about how you wouldn't like a person if they had a 0 or a 9 in their phone because of rotary phones. You're yeah. like, hell with this guy.
And yet 8 is fine.
Yeah, hell with this guy. I'm not calling him.
Especially
who
0.
Who was that? I feel like I should credit that comedian now, but I can't remember who it was.
He knows who he is. Did you ever have a rotary phone?
Oh, yeah.
Did you?
Yeah.
In the house? Was that ever your only phone?
Yeah, I guess it must have been.
Do you remember?
I remember my grandma. I think it might have been my grandmother's house. I remember at a very young age, we had a proper phone.
Yeah, we're of the age where we had an opportunity to learn how to use one.
Yeah.
But it hasn't been a big part
yeah,
of our
Yeah, I think
lives.
Maybe I didn't, and my grandmother still had one for a few years. But yeah. I definitely used it. I remember using it, and it takes a long time.
That would be really annoying if somebody had a lot of 8s, 9s, 0s in the number.
Yeah.
And then you misdialed.
Yeah. Oh, that happened.
Start again.
I'm sure it happened for sure. You know, one of the stress dreams I have is about that, about not being able to dial a number properly. Not on a rotary phone, sadly, but yeah.
I was
just
thinking
like
about that the other day, how we actually don't dial anymore. You can just decide what the number is and then press the button
yeah.
to call the number. There actually is no more dialing.
Yeah. Very rare.
Very rare.
I've done it. Recently, there's certain things I just don't want to put in my phone. I don't want to be reminded that I have to call the doctor. So those ones I don't put in my phone. So then I have to find the number and dial it.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
I know.
Interesting.
I'm a weirdo.
You are a weirdo.
Yeah.
Well, folks, if you want to experiment with dialing, you can do it. It doesn't matter. We don't discriminate whether it's rotary phone, pulse. Do you remember pulse? Remember how
pulse.
You have a portable phone and there was a setting for
oh,
tone
yeah,
or pulse?
Yeah.
And I never understood why.
When you'd hit it, right? It would make that.
Yeah, a lot of mic tapping today on the show. You found a way to. See, you should have done that. Now you found the right time to do that.
Yeah. And my shirt's off.
And your shirt's off. Somehow you managed.
Boom.
Wow, that was
there
clever.
There should have been an explosion waiting for that.
Wow.
That's how quick you can get
yeah,
a shirt off.
Yeah, we should figure that out.
Bitches.
Yeah, I could never understand why that was an option to put on the pulse when you would, instead of the yeah. tone. I don't understand
especially
what the choice
Especially
because
the tone was awesome. You were like, oh my God, my phone beeps.
Yeah, you probably were.
Yeah.
You probably were.
I loved it.
So what else? What else you got in your notes? We've got to make sure we've got to cover everything. You know, we don't want to leave anything.
Well, I want to talk about Batman Superman.
Okay.
Can we?
I know we
we've done
do it.
We've done already some movie stuff today, but...
Yeah, let's talk about it.
I mean, I know you're not as big a fan of this sort of stuff, but
no.
What I wanted to address is this...
That's okay, because you can play the role of the person who cares about it.
Right.
And I can be the person who's indifferent.
Yeah, and you can lend some perspective, for sure.
For the indifferent people of the world.
I don't really have a lot to say. I mean, I did a review for it, and you and I talked about it earlier, but what's relevant is that this bandwagon thing that happens when an extended cut comes out, it's been a long time since this has happened. This used to be a common thing, right? You have a Blu-ray version would be the director's cut,
mm-hmm.
or the longer cut, or the unrated cut. And Blu-ray buying has gone down, of course. A lot of people don't even buy anymore. And those sorts of things, special features have been reduced. You don't get a lot of commentaries like you used to. And so this Batman Superman came out to really mixed reviews. And they were hoping, Warner Brothers was hoping this was going to be like the new flagship for their whole DC universe.
Mm-hmm.
And then everyone kind of went, meh. And so they came out with this Ultimate Edition, they called it. And got everybody and their dog to go out and buy a version of it
that
was supposed to be better. And it's considerably longer. I don't know exactly much longer, like about a half an hour longer.
That sound feels so corrupt to me. Like, what they should, if they're going to do that at all, they should say, if you own the film, we will give you the software update of the film.
Yeah, yeah.
For a proportional amount of money. So if you paid $29.99 foolishly for this movie,
yeah.
then for $4.99, we'll give you the version 1.3 or something.
So, yeah, so this is what bothers me.
That makes
about,
me sad that yeah. people buy like many versions of a movie.
Well, what bothers me is that it's not just that it exists and that's a money grab, because it might be. Or it might be a better version of the film, or it might be the director's real cut, even though they never admit that anymore. What bothers me is that people so badly want to like the thing that they were disappointed in, or they so badly want to convince other people that they're wrong, that they jump on the bandwagon and say, oh, this is way better. This makes it way better. I've heard that so many times. Like, oh, no, you have to see the extended cut. It's way better. Now, sometimes, of course, this is true. But the reason we're talking about this specific movie and this specific complaint is because this time it is not true. It just doesn't add anything at all to the film. And maybe it's a bit smoother. There's a little bit more depth, but not enough to change your outcome, the outcome of that film. Not enough to change it from being a thumbs down to a thumbs up, for example. If you were on the fence with this movie, this isn't going to change that. Yeah, maybe it was a 6.5, now it's a 7, sure. But it just doesn't fill in any of those gaps. The major complaints for that film are not solved by the Ultimate Edition. So sorry, Warner Brothers, and sorry about the cash for
it. Is that what it's called, the Ultimate Edition?
Yeah, Batman vs. Superman Ultimate Edition. Yeah, it's just not that much better than the theatrical
cut. I assume there's numerous instances of you purchasing two versions of a film. But how many times have you purchased three or more versions of a film? That's what I want to know.
Well, I actually haven't bought two versions of a film very often.
Really?
Yeah. Well, I'll also to
you've
be
held out for the director's cut when you've done
yeah,
that.
Yeah, if I know for sure. Okay. Yeah, I'll wait. But then there's also times when they come together, things like that, right? You'll get extended cuts that are just in with the other one. Three times? That's crazy talk. I don't know if that exists. I mean, I've bought.
Well, it sounds like it's possible. Somebody could buy the movie when it's released.
Yeah.
Oh wow, there's a director's cut. I gotta have that.
Oh,
oh wow, there's an ultimate edition.
Gotcha.
I need to have the
I
ultimate
have an example.
Edition. Good.
Blade Runner.
Okay. So
yeah,
what three?
Yeah, because Blade Runner had a final cut, and then it had a director's cut, and then it had a final cut, and these were years apart.
Right.
That these happened.
Right.
Ridley Scott, of course, the director of Blade Runner.
Yeah.
And so yeah, because there's this famous thing that happened with Blade Runner where they in the director's cut they changed the voiceover and they changed the ending, and so then this final cut came out years later, which was supposed to sort
they
of
they replaced Harrison Ford with Mark Hamill.
Yeah, yeah, which was pretty good.
Just superimposed his
it
face.
It was pretty good.
Yeah.
But he kept doing the Joker voice, which was weird.
Yeah.
No, so the final cut was like supposed to be the final cut, and for the most people like that one, and they think that's the definitive cut, and I like it. It's my favorite one. So yeah, there's an example. It's hard. I'm glad we thought of one, because it's tough, and maybe it is time that changes that. You know,
plus
you
plus different. Minutes. We're not even acknowledging different formats for a lot of
people.
Well,
that's what I actually thought
you meant.
They might
have purchased it for Laserdisc.
Yeah. Well, that's what I thought you meant, because I've definitely owned like The Lost Boys. Great example. We talked about it earlier today. I've owned that on VHS and DVD and Blu-ray.
See, that's another thing. To go from VHS to DVD is one thing,
mm-hmm.
but to go from DVD to Blu-ray for ownership, what's the difference in experience?
Yeah, it's only because it's such one of my favorite movies, and I just want it on the newest thing.
Wow.
The few times that I've fallen for that. I know lots of people do that regularly, but I try not to. But yeah, sometimes you gotta go for it, those big movies.
It'd be nice to benefit from people's willingness to spend that kind of money.
And just be a big corporation.
Rather than just be a victim of it.
Yeah, no.
You know?
You just got to be a big
like
greedy
jerk.
Like
a person's willingness to invest hundreds of dollars in consuming a film.
Mm-hmm.
It'd be nice to benefit from
that. Just get a little piece.
Yeah, I'm very against it until I can imagine a way that we could benefit.
I'm like that with everything. I'm against everything until I benefit from it, and then let's do it, yeah.
Let's figure out how to do it.
Okay.
What's happening with your movie collection? I mean, yeah, when I grew up, it was a pretty typical thing to maintain a movie collection. For me, mine was pretty limited. I probably, at the peak, maybe had like 50 to 100 films. But I had friends, yourself included, who at some point starts to creep towards hundreds of films, and there's a VHS that gets replaced by the DVD. And I started to wonder, like in the early 2000s, with you and another friend of ours, I thought, aware of the fact that it had gone from VHS to DVD, I thought, this isn't the only time it's going to change formats. At some point, this will go from being a library to being kind of like posters.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it becomes more like a display item rather than a functional item. So what's happened for you in terms of your purchasing of films?
Yeah, I wish I had something insightful to say about this, but I'm kind of caught up in the tides, man. Like I've collected. I've very, very early on in my, I don't collect a lot of stuff. One of the things I do collect is movies. And I understood pretty quickly that you don't buy movies so you can just have them at your disposal all the time. It's something about displaying them. It's cool to have a ton of movies, and it is, of course, nice to be able to pick one out. But I have movies I bought 15 years ago that I still haven't opened. I just wanted to own them, but I already watched them three times or something, right? And just never come up again. So,
it'd be cool if – I wish I could go back in time to when people such as yourself were spending $20 to $30 to purchase a film that was ultimately never removed from the shrink wrap and had just sold you the case shrink wrapped.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like it's considering the fact that the film was never watched, I wish I could have sold you the shiny thing that goes on display.
Yeah, just, for cheaper, hopefully.
Yeah, well, that's the point. It's just to save you some money.
But to answer your question, I guess for a while, it's waned, right? As we just said, the Blu-ray purchasing has waned. But so I stopped buying them for a while, and then I started buying them again. So I don't know where I'm going to end up.
That's fair enough.
I like the collection. I like having them.
Well, folks, you've been listening to Now We're Talking. I'm your host, Jeff Bryant. You're listening to CITR 101.9 FM. Keith is with me as always. We're going to take a moment right now just to reflect on the show. This has been episode 12 of Now We're Talking. We're into a second series. Another 10. We got renewed for another 10 episodes.
Yeah, baby.
And
we Keith, didn't get canceled like the comedians.
Is there anything you want to quickly summarize about today's show?
Yeah, maybe that... How much time do we have?
Like 30 seconds.
Oh, okay. That gives me lots of time.
Well, you read your essay. So that's the second week that we've had your essay. We tried to do the explosion afterwards. That didn't materialize.
Right.
We talked about sausage festival party.
Yeah.
And some other things.
Yeah,
and,
love sausage party. Didn't love Batman Superman. I love Steve Jobs, the new Steve Jobs movie. Great movie. Go watch it.
Okay, folks. That's it for us. And now we're talking. And we'll catch you next time.